Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin. We are holding on Vav Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amud Yosef, Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef was sitting achirei behind the Rav Abba. Yosef Rav Abba. So Rabbi Abba was sitting kamei de Rav Huna. Rav Huna was the Rebbe presenting in front of Rabbi Abba, and Rav Yosef who was behind Rabbi Abba. V'yosef v'ka'amar, and Rav Huna was presenting as follows. Firstly, hilchasa k'Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. The halacha follows Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha's opinion discussed yesterday that one can allow a guy to repay a debt if in fact it is a milve bishtar, if it's a milve alper, undocumented loan, but not if it's a milve bishtar, because in that case he feels relieved, satisfied and happy that he undid his debt, which might bring him to thank his avodah zarah. But a milve alper, undocumented, go ahead and grab it, take all you can get, seize the opportunity, allow him to repay it. In that case, he's not going to be too happy because, as Rashi seems to indicate, he was hoping to get off the hook on that, so it doesn't bring him much satisfaction. That was Rabbi Shimon Karcha's sort of compromise in that halacha, and that's how that's the view that we adopt la halacha. That's number one. V'ilchasok Rabbi Yehuda, and likewise, in terms of a different discussion, a different topic, we follow Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. End of presentation. Explains the Gemara. When he said Hilchasak Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha, he meant Hadamaran, as discussed earlier in the sugya. What about when he said Hilchasak Rabbi Yehuda? He was referring to a Mishnah in Maseches Bava Kama, the Snan, Hanis and Tzemer Latzaba. There's a Tzaba, a fellow who dies, you know, material. As per the customer's wishes, he can paint it red, color it black, whatever you ask for. Hanoisin tseva, tsemer le tsaba. So he handed some raw material, some wool to the tsaba, with the with the intent to have it dyed into red. And the fellow switched the color on him. Vetsava shachar, instead he did it black. Or he asked for shachar black, vetsava yadim, he did it red. What happens now? Now, of course, the end product is higher in value than the actual raw material by far. Let's assume. Who gets that extra? Rameo Imer, Noisin Leid Meit Samri. It all belongs to the dyer, the tzaba. Because, as Rashi explains, when one deviates from what he was instructed to do, he's called a gazlan, like a robber, like he stole. In which case, he's kind of bishina. He acquires it through that change, because it was changed from what it was supposed to be. Right? It was wool, and now he turned it into a color which is inappropriate. That's a shinoi. It's a change of form, a change of features. It's called a shinoi. In which case, he's kinda. It's like he stole something and converted it into something else. It belongs to him. All he does is compensate the owner for the original item, or in this case, the original wool material, and he's done. And he keeps the tzaba, the professional keeps the rest. Despite the fact that it has a higher value today, that profit belongs to him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, in this case, we don't allow it to happen. Rashi says, Nimsazem is taka b'shinuyu, he's going to profit because he deviated. No, we don't allow him to keep it. Rather, he returns it to the customer, and the customer is only obliged to pay him the lesser of the two amounts. You know, he invested some into some raw materials, he had his own, you know, the hours that he worked on it. And then we have, on the other hand of the other side of the equation, we have the shvach. So Yitzhiya is what he invested, and Shvach is the added value in the item itself. So he'll get the lesser of the two amounts. That's the halacha when a fellow doesn't listen to instructions. So Rabbi Da'imer Mashvach Yosar Al Yitziyah, the added value in the material, is higher, is greater than the amount that he invested into making it as such. So he only gets the amount that he invested. The owner has to give him the Yitziyah. If the investment was greater than the addition in value and the enhancement of the material, so then the customer will only give him the lesser of the two amounts, which is the added value. So with respect to this machlekes, we pass in like Rabbi Yehuda that he's given the lesser of the two amounts, and that was Rav Huna's presentation. Ahadrinu Rav Yosef Lapei. So Rav Yosef was sitting over there. He turned his face to the side. He was unhappy at why Rav Huna had to bother even presenting these points. Why did he have to tell us? It's unnecessary to say that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Bishleim halacha Rishum ben Karcha. I understand why he had to inform us the first point. That's a chiddush, because if you recall, it was a minority view. It was an individual, a yachid against a rabbim. The chachamim disallowed any repayment of debt, whether it's shtar or alpe. So that's why it was necessary for him to say that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Karcha, who strikes that compromise. Bishleim halacha, could Rabbi Shimon Karcha understand that was Yisrael, was necessary to teach us that point? Perhaps I would say, Yochad Ram, once an individual against the majority, halacha Ram, we followed the majority, which in this case is the Chachamim Kamashmon, that's why he had to inform us that in this case it's different. Halacha ki Yochad, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Karcha. Okay, that was important. But the second part of his statement, Ela halacha Rabbi Yehuda, why was that necessary? Pshita, of course, the machlekes, because we have this same discussion discussed twice in Mishnayos. In Bava Kamma, it's presented as a machlekes, subject to dispute. The machlekes v'achakar chstam. Whereas in Bava Metzia, we have the same exact halacha presented as a stam, anonymously, just as a plain fact, plain halacha. It says, kol ha-choyzer, kol ha-meshana, yodol ha-tachtoyne, v'kol ha-choyzer boy. Anybody who deviates, anybody who backs out of a project, he's at a disadvantage. He has the losing hand, so to speak. And the fact that Rabbi HaKadosh, in the Mishnah, he presents this halacha without dissent, indicates to us, as Rashi explains, that after the machlekes was discussed and analyzed, the Chachamim concluded to adopt one opinion over the other, and that became the accepted practice. So since it's sequenced in this way, first it's brought down as a machlekes in one masechta, followed by a stam, by a clear-cut halacha in the next masechta, we paskin like the stam. The machlekes v'chakach stam hilchas halacha is k'stam. So Rabbi Yosef found it unnecessary to have to actually, be informed that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. It's a stam mishnah. And the Gemara explains, machlekes is in Bava Kamma, in that mesechta, stam is in the next mesechta, Bava Metzia. The stam we find in this mishnah, Bava Metzia, kala mishana, one who deviates from his instructions, yodai ala tachtoina, v'chala choyzer boy. Likewise, one who backs out in the middle of a project. Same story, yodai ala tachtoina. So why did Rav Huna have to present this? Answers the Gemara of Rav Huna, he found it necessary. Mishum de'ein seder l'mishnah, because the order, the sequence that the Mishnayot have been, recorded, is lav dafka, says Rashi. It wasn't necessarily taught this way. Perhaps the second mishnah was learned first, followed by the first mishnah. Then when it was sort of arranged in maseches, masechta formats, the order was switched around. She wouldn't really know which one was first, which one was second. Maybe it was the stam followed by the machlokes, in which case there's no indication of how we paskin. Right? They say the Mishnah. The order, today's Mishnah order, isn't necessarily absolute. Dikel, remember, we can very easily say that in its original form, in its original sequence, it was really stam tana bereisha first. The halacha was taught as a stam without dissent. Then it developed into a machlokes, in which case you can't really draw any conclusions. Well, says the Gemara, if that would be a concern, that things are out of order, then you can never say, you can never apply this formula of machlokes v'chakach stam. It's an accepted formula, accepted method of paskening. Well, it never works because you never know which order was said, right? Every machlokes is followed by a stam. We can always argue and speculate. Lema, we can say, ain't say the Mishnah, it's out of order. No, but Rav Huna will say to that, it's only specifically in this case. Kilei Amrinan ain't say the Mishnah. When do we not negate the order? When do we not say, ain't say the Mishnah, which means, when do we assume the order is precise? Within the same Masechta, we assume it was sequenced properly and purposely. But between Masechti Amrinan, but here, it's one Mishnah in one Masechta, it's Bava Kama, the other one is in Bava Metzia, two different Masechtas, you never know which Masechta was taught first. But Rav Yosef, now Rav Yosef would disregard this, apparently he held, Kula Nezikin Chada Masechti, no. Here, it's really all in the same Masechta. We should assume the order is correct because Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra are really three components of this sort of umbrella Masechta called Nezikin. So technically, it's like all one package, one Masechta. And we assume the sequence is precise, is exact. Fibo Yisem, another option, why Rabbi Yosef? Found it unnecessary to speak about halachah Rabbi Yehuda because Mishum Diktani Lo Gabi Pichas Apsikta, because the halacha of Kala Meshana Yoda Alal Yoina is situated within a collection of halachis in Bava Metzia, which give us sort of clear-cut verdicts, clear-cut halachis. It says Kala Meshana Yoda Alal Yoina Atachtoina V'Kala Chayzer Ba Yoda Atachtoina. Rashi explains that the topic of discussion over there in Bava Metzia is not really with respect to Meshana, a person who switched the order or whatever, was speaking about workers backing out. That's a topic of discussion, and the fact that the Mishnah there sort of gave us a printout of various halachas, including incorporation of this halacha as well, of Kala Meshana, a fellow who deviated and right, black instead of red and all that, that's to indicate that we are speaking absolute, these are the final conclusions, final piskei halacha, in which case it's meant to be followed, and therefore Rav Yosef found it unnecessary for Rav Huna to expound on this halach. But in any case, the bottom line is, all seem to agree in terms of the halacha lemasa, that with respect to repayment from a guy on his debt, that would go with Rabbi Yishuv ben Karchas Shita, a mova b'shtar yikanal, a mova b'alpe yikud, and with respect to a fellow who is Mishana, who passed like Rabbi Yehuda, yodai ala tachtoin. We know that on Shabbos, aside from refraining from doing physical malacha, we don't even discuss, we don't even relate verbally to malacha is ha'asureis. What if it's done in a hinting fashion? That's okay. One shouldn't approach his friend who happens to be a laborer. Hanira, does it seem to you that we're going to be beating up at night in this place over there? But it doesn't expound further in terms of why they're going to meet and what work they're going to do. So that's not allowed. Rabbi Shimon Karach Omer, it is allowed. Omer Adam Chavero, you can tell somebody, you can hint him in this language to prepare himself for the Matzah Shabbos job, as long as he doesn't specifically refer to it in detail. Hanire, Omer Adam Chavero, Hanire, Shetam Adim Le'erev, you can do that. Omer Rabba Bar, Barachana. Rabbi Yechanan, Hilchasa, like this Shita of Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha. Tan Rabban, Hanisha Lechacham Atimei. One has a Shaila and Halachas of Tumah V'Tahara, he goes to the Chacham, to the Rav, who decides that it's Tamei. He shouldn't go knock next door by the next Rav, hoping to get a leniency. You can't do that. The first Rav was endowed with Tziata D'Shmaya, Hashem sent a message through him, that's what you keep. Le'isha Lechacham, you shouldn't go to the next Chacham, Yitar, to gain a Kula to make it Torah. Likewise, in terms of Isser and Heter. Right, you have a shayla on the chicken, is it kosher? And you go to Lechacham and he says, no, it's no good v'asar. He says, it's asar. Le'isha Lechacham v'yater. You shouldn't go to the next Chacham to find a heter. Now, interesting. Tosis points out that it's only a problem if you don't inform the second Rav, right? That you've been at a different Rav. But if you tell him, look, I've been at this and this Rav, who told me it's Usser, and now can we investigate this thing further? And the second Rav actually discovers something which is, that the first Rav made a blatant mistake, and he's wanting to go back and, rectify it and clarify it with the first Rav, that's okay. But you can't just go, Rav hopping, hoping for the best deal. But suppose you approach two Rabbanim at once. Hoyishnaim, echad metami, echad metar. One says tami, one says tar. Echad oyser, echad mata. The other one says forbidden, the other one says permissible. Who do you follow? Im hoye echad mehem, gadol mechaveri, the one that's greater. Gadol mechaveri bechachma. One is a wiser man, v'minyan, more talmidim, more opportunity to delve deeper into the top subject matter. So then, halech acharav, you adopt his view. Vimlav, you don't have this discrepancy in terms of status, etc. So you have an equal shot here. What do you do? Halech achar machmir, you follow the most stringent psak. Rishab and Karach Omer, not so quick. Depends what. Vishal Torah, if it involves a din Torah, then we go lechumra. Halech achar machmir, you adopt the more strict opinion. But if it's ederabonim, Vishal Sofer, rabbinic issues, halech achar mekel, you take the more lenient view. Rav Yosef, that's how we paskin. Hilchas Sugar Rishon Ben Karach, Tana Rabbanan, the Kulan. All these individuals discussed the Maseches Demai that are not really reliable in terms of Truma and Maser. They're unlearned people. Amiya Aretz, it's not known to be those who adhere and observe the Halachos of Truma and Maser properly. So you can't really trust them. The Kulan Shechazer Behem. But let's say they claim they made a turnaround, and now they're ready to conform. Ein mekavlon oisin aglomis, you can't rely on them permanently, because they have a track record of being unreliable in terms of truma and maser. Rabbi the Omer, it depends. Chazur ben matmoinios, if they've come back, discreetly in their private lives only, then it's not enough to redo their status and turn them into reliable people in Mekabel Nesa. But if they're doing it blatantly, in the open, look, we're becoming more observant. Look at us. Then it's legitimate, it's to be relied upon in Mekabel Nesa, and you can treat them as reliable as Ne'amonim regarding these halachis. Tosis actually learns that we're speaking about people who officially did do Shuvah, and then they're back to their old ways. So now they want to come back a second time, says Tosfos. That would explain why, according to one Shita, we don't accept them anymore, because they've sort of burnt their bridges. Ikadami, there's another version of Rabbi's opinion in terms of in private or in public. Also, the Rei Matmoinius originally, if their misdeeds were done, privately, not out in the open, so that's not such a gross deviation. So now, if they're back on track, you can assume it's real. But Befarhesia, if they disregarded these halachas in the open, blatantly, Rashi says, Hoylu fakru kol kach, so rejecting of our way of life, shuv einoisin liban losho b'tshuva shlemo, can assume that it'll be very hard for them to come back and adopt these things in a serious fashion. So ein mekabel oisin, you can't rely on them. Rabbi Shimon kor ha'imrim, no, we disagree. Benkach or benkach, whether it's this or that, mekabon oison, when they claim they did teshuva, you should, we can reincorporate them into the community, right? If we see they're back on track, you can rely on their integrity. Shenemar, the pasuk says, it's never too late, you can always come back. Shuvu banim shevavim, my wayward children, Hashem says, come back. And Rashi explains, the lashon of shevav means even mazit, b'farasya. Open, blatant rejection of Torah, don't worry. Tshuva can undo all that. Om Rabbi Yitzchok, Ish Kfar Akai, Rabbi Yechonon, that's how we paskin. Hilcha Soka Yisei Azug, we follow this peer, these Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Karcha, there's nothing that stands in the way of Teshuva. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. So, as we learned the other day, during their holiday season, you meant to refrain from dealing with them, from doing business, from selling them, things which may actually precipitate Avodah Zarah, bring them to thank their Avodah Zarah, make them feel appreciative and thankful because of their good fortune or success in business. So you meant to keep away. How far in advance? 3 days in advance. And according to the conclusion of the Gemara yesterday, it means 3 days in addition to the actual holiday itself. Rishmol Eimer, he extends it even past the holiday, when the guy is still in holiday mode, and he might turn around and thank his Avodah Zarah for his good fortune. Rishmol Eimer, not only Shloish Lifneim, 3 days before, but also Shloish Lachareim, even 3 days following the actual holiday, the Isser still applies. It's us. Chachamim disagree. Chacham here are sort of in line with the Tanakama back on the Mishnah of Beis Amud Aleph. The Isser is limited to prior. V'chacham Eimer Lifnei Edein Aser, before the holidays it's Aser, to interact, but L'achar Edein Mutar, after the holidays up, he's already out of holiday mode, not to worry. Amar of Tachlifa Bar Avdimi, Amar Shmuel, Yom Echad. So the Sunday holiday, the Christian holiday on Sunday, according to Rabbi Shmuel Shita, who says it's 3 days before and after, it knocks out the whole week. You can never do business with the guy because the whole week is covered between the holiday itself and the 3 days before and 3 days after. It's all 7 days. Now it seems that the Chachamim, Hayinu Tanakama, they're just repeating the original opinion on that Beis Amud Aleph, that the Isser is limited to pre-holiday only. So why repeat this Shita? Why repeat this opinion again? Apparently there's some distinction between the two Shitas, and we're going to have to search for the distinguishing factor. Says the Gemara, Hein b'lo yidein ikubinayu. So according to Tanakama, the 3 days are in addition to the aid to the holiday itself. And that will be the point of contention here. Tanakama Savar, the first Shita holds, Hein b'lo yidein, 3 days in addition to the holiday. Rabban Basroi Savri, whereas our Chachamim, who just say, you know, Lifnei Edein, they don't say, spell it out, 3 days in front of the holidays, so perhaps they will hold, Hein Ve'edein, that it's 3 days, including the holiday itself, so it's really only 2 days in advance. Iboisim, another option could be, Nosa V'nosa Nikubinai. What if he did business? After the fact, what happens to the money, what happens to the profits, what happens to the merchandise? Tanakama Savar, Nosa V'nosa Muta. Tanakama holds, okay, you shouldn't be doing that, but after the fact, it's okay. You can use it, it could benefit from the money, whatever. Rabban Basroi, but the latter Rabban, our Shita in the Mishnah, typically the next Shita is trying to add, make it more strict and more stringent. So let's assume they hold Sabri, Noso V'Noson Oso. Just like you can't do it, you can't even benefit after the fact. Another way to explain the difference, the Shmuel Ikibunayo. The Machlokes revolves around Shmuel's Chiddush. Domar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Begoyla, when you're outside of Yisrael, the Goyim aren't on such a high level. They're not so attached to their Avodah Zarah to generate this concern. Ein Asr al Yom Edom Levad. So the Isser is only on the day of, not before or after. They're not so religious to be so into their holidays. And Rashi adds another point, Vo'edim Mestafinim Minau, this fear, this concern that it might generate animosity. So it's only limited to the day of the holiday. That's the Tanakama Shita. Tanakama is like the Shmuel, holds like Shmuel, that only in Eretz Yisrael, where we assume the Mishnah is relating to, only there do we say it extends 3 days prior, but in Chutz La'aretz, it's limited to only the day itself, Rabban Basroi. However, our Rabban and our Shita and our Mishnah will be coming to add less to the Shmuel. They don't hold the Shmuel's leniency. They hold, wherever you are, the same restriction applies. Ibo Yisema, yet another suggestion would be, Denacham Hamada Yikibinayu. There's a Chiddush presented by the Tana Nacham Hamadi, and that will be the point of difference between the two Shittas. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Nacham Adi Aymer, Einoi Asr Al Yom Echad Lifnei Yedein. The Isra only extends 1 day prior to holiday. Tana Kama, so the Tana back on that base certainly, clearly doesn't hold to that. Because he says three, right? Leslie, Lacham Abadi, doesn't hold to this 1 day restriction. Rabban Basroi, however, our Rabban, who don't mention the number three, perhaps Islud Nacham Abadi, hold of Nacham Abadi, is limited restriction period, that it's limited to only 1 day prior. Okay, let's go back and review this halacha gufa. Nacham Amadi Omer, he says it's only a 1 day restriction. Eino yasur ela yomechad lufnei edein. Amru lo, the Chachamim disregarded this shita. They said nishtaka adavar leinemar. Nobody has ever said this. This is only your opinion. Forget about it. Don't, you know. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? The Kama Kama say, we just concluded that our Rabbanan and our Mishnah hold that it's only a one-day affair. Well, says the Gemara, guess what? Man Chacham, who is the Chacham in our Mishnah? It is exactly Nachum Amadi. Who? It's him speaking. So you can't really support his Shita from what he's saying, what he himself is saying in our Mishnah, right? Okay, on the topic of Nachum Amadi, we have several more Shitas from the same source. Tanya, either we have another Braisa, Nachum Amadi Omer. Although, as we're going to see later in the Masechta, one is not meant to sell heavy animals to the Goyim at all, because it might lead to Chilul Shabbos, because you might loan him an animal, rent him an animal, and if he encounters difficulty on Shabbos, he might call you over to help him out and get the animal going, in which case the animal will be working as per you, the Jewish owner's instructions. You can't have the animal work. You can't have your animal work on Shabbos. So you shouldn't be selling them anything. However, Nachum Amadi Omer, this is an exception to the rule. Moichron lehen sus zachar v'zaken b'malchama. So Rashi explains, it's the middle of a raging battle. They used to use horses, right? So you're allowed to sell a male, an old male horse. Why? He's only going to disrupt he's not going to help much. He's only going to cause problems. And Rashi says it's not something common, it's not something which is shchiach, and therefore the Chachamim did not apply an Isser for this type of sale. That's a Nachum Amadi's chiddush. And the Chachamim disagreed. Amrloi nishtaka adav loy nemar. Forget about it. Ask the Gemara why. What's such a big deal? We have another Shita, Vayikah ben Besera. There's a Shita called ben Besera, the Koyka Besera, who seems to be going along the same track, who allows for these exceptions. Does not have a Mishnah. Ben Besera mate Besus. You can sell any horse to a guy. Rashi explains, you know why? Because if the concern is that it might lead to work on Shabbos, by way of the Jewish owner's instructions, well, a horse doesn't do malacha. Certainly not a malacha d'iraisa on Shabbos, because it's meant for riding, and riding on a horse is only the rabbanon, it's not really a chiyuv chatas, even if it takes you out in the street, because a live person sort of lifts himself, and it's called chay noises atzmoy. There's a slight lift that a live person will affect when he's riding on an animal or being carried by a person, so the animal is not really technically carrying him out like an item. It's not a malacha of carrying on Shabbos. So he says, don't worry about selling horses to goyim. There you go. So he allows the sale of horses. So that seems to correspond with Nachum Amadi, who likewise allowed us to sell this old horse. Well, says the Gemara, no connection. Ben Besera le maflik ben zchar melakevich. You see, Ben Besera does not differentiate between male, female, old, young. He says any horse is okay because, as we explained, a horse is not going to come to a malacha d'iraisa. Okay, so that works. But in contrast to Nachum Amadi, he didn't give a blanket heter for all horses to be sold. Only old ones, only, right? The ones that interfere with the battle, with the Melchama. So apparently, he was looking at it differently. He was viewing this whole ban of selling animals to a goy in a totally different light. It was based on a concern that if you sell them these animals, you sell them even horses, it can lead to problems. Because if you sell them a horse, you might use it at war and harm people. So he is banning horses as well. Ew, as opposed to Nachum Amadi, Midukah Maflug, Ben Schar, and Kevus, he differentiates males, old ones, right? Apparently, Kirabonon, severely, he was like the Rabbonon, who are also concerned about even horses being sold because it might lead to them harming people, attacking people. So if you're going with that track, you see, Ben Besera was based on Malacha on Shabbos, which doesn't apply to horses, period. Rabbanon say even by horses, you're going to be aiding them in their battles, in their melchamos. So if he's going with that Shita, we don't want to differentiate between whole, old, young, male, female. Although Rabbanon ishtaka, double, they never continue, forget about it, wasn't said. We're not agreeing with it. We don't want to differentiate. It's called loy pluk, right? We don't want to differentiate. We just keep it consistent and you know. Tanya, we have another braisa, Nachum Amadi Omer. This is regarding maaser, separating the maaser to the kohen for the levi. So there's something called hasheves, a certain spice, which starts off, you know, like just a little seedling, a little thing, and then it develops into these more like a greenish type of vegetable, a leafy type of look, and then it develops into these like branches. Then eventually it dries up, and all you have are the seeds. So there are sort of three aspects to this plant. You have it in its green form, in its vegetable leaf form, and you have it in its sort of more developed branchy form, and then you have it in its seed form. So are you obligated to separate maser at every stage? Let's say you pick it in its leaf form. Is that considered a finished product with respect to maser? Or is it considered like you just aborted its growth and it's not really its primary, you know, form? In which case it wouldn't be chayiv and maser. So nachamadi omer, hasheves, this specific type of spice, this plant, indeed has three options to it, three aspects, three components to its growth. Misaser zera, v'yerek v'zirin. Whichever stage you pick it, whether it's in the yerek stage, zirin stage, zera stage, you have to take off maser. Rashi says, because it's common to consume it in either form. Hilkach, Rashi says in the first wide line, Kulu havalugma peri. It's considered like a finished product whenever you pick it. Amrulay, they disagreed. Nishtaka adavrulay nemar, it shouldn't be said. It was never said. It's incorrect. Why? Because it's primary product, so to speak, is its seeds. That's what it's planted for. That's the ikur kavon, that's the ultimate goal, to get it to the seed stage. In which case, if you pick it earlier, it's like you're picking it prematurely. It's not it's not intended for that. It's not intended to be consumed that way, in which case, there's no chiv of maser. Because maser is only on a finished product, a primary product, so forget about the halach. So as the Gemara, what's the big chiddush? We have another shita that holds like that. Vayikar Belazer. Belazer holds exactly like Nachum HaMadi. The Kayikam Vasei follows that shita. That's not Belazer Oimer. Hasheves, right? This item. Misaseres Zera V'yerek V'zirin. In all its stages. Hasam B'digunu Naisa. That's very different. That's the one that's cultivated in the small gardens. So that, in fact, is meant to be eaten in all different ways. But Rashi says the one that's, cultivated out there commercially in the fields, that is like mustard. It's only eaten in its seed form, and they wait until it dries up, fully ripens, and then they use it only for its seeds, in which case anything other than seeds is not considered its primary use, primary product, and is pata from maser. So bottom line is, Nocha Amadi had many halachis, which were pretty much all negated by the Chachamim. So he turned to Abaye. He says, Abaye, there was a great man who came from our town, who came to visit you, and you knocked him out. Gavar Rabba, a great man, also Ma'asrin, who came to visit you from our town, i.e. Nochma Madi. Anything he said, he just, Kumusa the Omar, whatever he told you, Amrle, they told him, Mishtagadavlinema, forget about it. Omar Abaye says, well, actually, one thing he said we did agree with. We did accept. There's one thing that we did accept. And we followed along. Sanya. Nochamadi Aimer. This is in terms of tefillah. If one has a personal tefillah, when does he insert that tefillah? Where does he place it? Shoyl Adam Srocha B'Shmeya Tefillah. In the middle of the Brocha Shmeya Tefillah, you can stop and add your personal, tefillahs. That's okay. And that's what we do. So, you see, we accept at least one of them, one thing that he taught us. Omar, so Rav Acha bar Yumin responded, that's not a big deal. Yeah, you're following it because it's been taught by Tanoim, other Tanoim, by the Chachamim. That's why you're accepting it, not because of Nochem HaMadi. Bar Minodai, leave that one alone. The Talia, it's sourced. V'ashli Ravari, in great trees, it's hanging on great trees. The Rashi says, one pshat is great trees, like Vayita Eshel, Avram Avizu's big tree, big man. It's sourced in big tanoim, or eshel can mean ropes. It's hanging on big ropes, meaning it's been taught previously by Chachamim. That's why you follow it, not because of Nachum HaMadi. Okay, where is this halacha to be found? The Sanya, we have a long braisa. Towards the end, we're going to see that the Chachamim hold that, in fact, personal requests are meant to be inserted into Shemaya Tefillah. The Sani, we have a Braisa which begins like this. Rabbi Elazar Omer, one has personal issues. Where does he place those issues? Where does he daven those personal tefillahs? Shoyl Adam Tzrachav. First, a person should unburden his heart to Hashem regarding his personal matters. And then with a clear mind, he should approach the standard format of tefillah of Shemoneh Esrei. So your personal issues come before the communal tefillah. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, tefillah la'ani, a poor man, destitute, dependent on Hashem. Kiyata, if he's enwrapped with sorrows, with hardships. So that goes first. V'lifnei Hashem, yishpoch sichoi. And then comes sichoi, which is the communal standard tefillah Shemoneh Esrei. Ein sichah l'tefillah, right? That's the standard tefillah. Shenamar, as we find by Yitzchak, that sichah relates to tefillah. And of course we know Yitzchak Avinu here was davening tefillahs mincha. So first comes your personal tefillahs, and then the standard tefillah. Ein sichah l'tefillah shenamar v'yitza Yitzchak l'sov asad. Reb Shua says just the opposite. First, get on the track, daven the regular tefillah, and then you have time, add your personal tefillahs following. First, daven the standard format, and then to your personal needs. Shenemar, eshbech lefanav sichi. First, I spill out to Hashem sichi, my standard tefillah, the standard format, the communal tefillah, and then following that, so rosh lefanav agid, I speak to Hashem about my personal pain. Okay, Rav Elazar, who said this the other way, nam yoksiv eshbech lefanav sichi. What does he do with Rabbi Shua's pasuk? Well, that pasuk can be learned the other way around. Hachi ka'amar, the pasuk means like this. Eshbech lefanav sichi. Sure, I proceed with the communal format, with the standard tefillah, but that's only after. I've already discussed bizman shatarasik lefanav agad, after having discussed my personal issues with Hashem. Rabbi Shua nami yoksiv tefillah l'anakiyativ. On the other hand, how does Rabbi Shua learn Rabbi Elazar's pasuk? Tefillah l'anakiyativ. Hachi ka'amar, the pasuk can be learned just the opposite. When is that time, that appropriate time for your personal issues? After having already presented Hashem with the standard format connecting to the communal tefillah, and only then do you move on to personal concerns. So now the psukim can be learned both ways. So what exactly is, in fact, the basis for their diverging views? Michti, look, Kroy, the psukim that we just quoted, can be learned both ways. Loi kemar daiki, they're not indicative of one opinion over the other. But loi kemar daiki, nor like the other opinion. Mikemitliki, so what exactly is the machlekes about? There must be some sort of logic behind the machlekes. Yep, the darsh abisimloi. As per the next lesson from Abisimloi, lo ilam yisadur adam shvacha shel moke. The appropriate manner to approach Hashem and tefillah is first establish that rapport, that connection. Express your appreciation for Hashem's greatness. Present Hashem's praises. V'achachach yispal, and then comes your personal tefillah. How do we know? Min olam Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? When he asks Hashem to enter Eretz Yisrael first, achsiv, it says, Hashem, malikim atachi lois la'ar sabdecha, esgod lucha, yadcha chazaka. So he related to Hashem's greatness. He appreciated Hashem's power and expressed it. And then, it's followed by that personal request, Ebrono, please let me cross into Eretz Yisrael, v'eretz ha'eretz ha'teva. So we see that's the appropriate sequence. And hence, Rabbi Elazar holds, it's important first. That's Rabbi Shua's shita. So Rabbi Shua's sabre, afinim ha'maisha. Therefore, Rabbi Shua says, let's look at the way Moshe Rabbeinu did it, and we're meant to follow suit. Therefore, when it comes to our personal tefillahs, what goes first? Says Rashi on top. We learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, lahasdir say shvach tchila. First comes the praises, that first personal connection, so to speak, and then, so therefore, hilkach yispal yudches tchila. So in terms of davening the Shemoneh Esrei or personal requests, first comes Shemoneh Esrei, because within Shemoneh Esrei we have, right, the first three brachos, dika shvach bat chalasim, right, the first three brachos, avos, gevuros, kedushas Hashem, it's called shvach, that allows you to make that personal connection. So daven Shemoneh Esrei first, and after the tefillah, you'll move on to personal difficulties. Rabbi Elazar holds no. You can't learn from the way Moshe Rabbeinu did it, because Shani Moshe is very different than us. The Rav Guvrei, because he was very able Rashi says, Gedulas Masa v'chachmosei Rabba. He, in fact, had the ability to present these praises properly, but for an ordinary person to do that, it looks like he's being haughty. He's relating to Hashem's greatness. Say what you need. Don't overdo it. So therefore, Blaza says, one is meant first to express his anguish, his personal concerns, and then move on to tefillah. V'chachamim ayimrim. Oh, here comes a third shita. And this is what we're looking for. Loik d'reze, loik d'reze. We don't follow this or that. Ella, rather the correct location for personal tefillahs is right in the middle of Shemana Esra, in the middle of Shemaya Tefillah. Ella, shoel adam tzrochav, b'shemaya tefillah. One should insert his personal concerns, his personal tefillahs, in the middle of the bracha of Shemaya Tefillah, right before the end, kiata, right? Amr b'dim Shmuel, halacha, that's the halacha, shoel adam tzrochav, where? B'shemaya Tefillah. And here come some examples. Amr b'dim Shmuel, or Shilas. Oh, you should know. B'shemay the Rav, he's quoting Rav. Even though we deem that to be the appropriate place for personal requests, but there's another place as well. Throughout the entire Shemana Esra, you can insert specific requests which are fitting, you know, the respective brachas as you go along. So let's say a person wants the Shemaya for Torah, right? So you meant to insert a personal request for that into the bracha of Atachoinen, where Hashem will endow us with Torah, right? So Avu b'Shamru Shoyel Adam Tzrocha b'Shmei Atfila. Avu, but there's another way to do it. In Baloyimar b'Seif Kol Bracha Bracha. Within every bracha, before you end the bracha, if you'd like to insert something which fits into the context of that bracha, Me'in Kol Bracha Bracha. I mean, you can do that. So Rashi gives the example of a person who's forgetting his learning. So in the middle of Chen Adas, you should ask Hashem, please, Hashem, help me retain my learning. Rashi gives another example. If a person is a Baal Teshuva, right? He wants Hashem to be mekabel his teshuva, so he should be ma'arich, he should expand the bracha of Areisa b'teshuva. V'chein kulan, says Rashi, and so on and so forth. Here come some more examples of refuah, parnasa, right? Or chib rashi marav, avu isha amru she'el adam tzuracha b'shmeh atfil, even though that's a good place, but im yesh l'cholu b'sech b'ese, person has a family member who's ill chas v'sholom, oymer, so you insert a bracha, v'brachas chaylam, we'll over for einu, like we have that special yiratzen for that, right? V'mitzarach l'parnasa, a person is in need for parnasa, who's not in need of parnasa, so you put it into brachas hashonam, ayim v'brachas hashonam, we'll baruch aleinu, Hashem. Right? I need some parnasa. V'amr Shem Levi, here comes another example of insertions. Aval b'sha amru shoyel adam tzrocha b'shmei atfil, even though that's a good place for added prayers. Aval b'alei ma'achat filasai. But let's say a person wants to, he's in the Yom Kippur mode, he wants to say the whole Al-Khait, beginning to end. Can you do that? Yeah. So after you daven, meaning after the Yul Ratzin, like we do in Yom Kippur, after Yul Ratzin by Lekai Nutzer, you can insert the entire vidui as long as you want. Achat filasa, afilu kesed Yom Kippurim. I mean, you can do that. Right? So if you see a person, you come to Mincha, and the person's still davening Shachris, maybe he's doing the Al-Khait, maybe he learned his Gemara. He decided it's Yom Kippur for him today. Okay, in any case, let's just do a quick recap. We pass like Rav Shomen Karcha regarding the guy repaying his debt. We pass like Rav Yehuda with respect to a person who deviated from his instructions. One can hint regarding doing Malacha Matzah Shabbos. We learned how to deal with contradictory Piskei Halacha regarding incorporating these Ami Aretz and trusting them again. We learned about the restricted period before the holidays, how long it lasts, and what when it pertains to. We had several halachas from Nochma Amadi, the last one of which we accepted, which was actually Shitas Chachamim, that Shoyel Adam Tzrocha B'Shmei Atfila, and as we conclude, not only Shmei Atfila, you can insert B'chol Bracha Bracha, or even Kesedi Yom Kippurim, at the end of one's tefillah. All the best to you and much, much hatzlacha.